Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
More than enough for Jireh, my provider. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me to supply all I need. You are more. More than enough for me. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me to supply all I need. You are more than enough, more than enough. You are more than enough. For me, you are more than enough,
more than enough.
You are more than enough for me.
Before I have you sit down, and while you're standing, I want to share a brief story with you that I kind of liked. You might not like it, but I liked it. Amen. And this was from a brother in the Lord, a minister. He has a pretty large staff of ministers in his fellowship just for his one local church. I guess there's two youth pastors, two associate pastors, and himself, you know, if you agree or whatever, but he's got a large staff. And he decided to take his staff to a big shopping mall 2 hours away from home and used a church bus, my goodness. Can you imagine? And one of the brethren in the church got irate. And he said, did anybody authorize you to take those people on a shopping trip? And he said, I don't think I needed your authorization. So he asked for this gentleman that called that was so irate to pull up his records. And it had been over a year and a half since the man had tithed. And you know what? I tell you, I love to hear a reprobate get set in this place. Amen. You know what? I just love to hear them kind of stories. And it's always the one that's going to squawk about finances when it ain't given. And he said, sir, so he got the records and he went and shared with him. And he goes, sir, number one, you were removed from your position because you have a television in your home. And there was a couple other things. And he told me some of the things. And he said, your driving record is so terrible. We couldn't let you drive one of our vehicles because he was helping in the bus ministry at one time. And he said, so we had to remove you from our insurance policy. You know, I tell you, I like order in the house of God. Amen. And the thing is, you know, I understand, but they want to control and every penny and everything spent, and the ones that usually want to do that. And you say, was this directed to this work or this church? Not at all. We got a generous group of people. We get devils that come along and find fault, and it's the same way here, brother. Every time someone finds fault with the finances, they're not a giver. Every single time, the people that war with me and wrestle with me aren't doing nor giving. They're usually on the other end, the ones that are being partakers. When I heard that story, I thought, well, praise God, man. I guess it didn't do as much for you guys as it did me, huh? Amen. It didn't help you at all, huh?
Yeah.
I sat under a great man of God named Brother Pike, Brother George Pike, and I'd watch these things come up in men's meeting on a continuous basis, and I would speak up, brother. Every time I gave with a cheerful heart, I gave with gratitude and honor and pleasure that I had something to sow into. And you know, the thing is you'll go down to some banker in town and yes, sir, how are you? God bless you, you know, and shake his hand and thus, us and us. And he bought his dope addict queer son a brand new car and you didn't think nothing of it. But the preacher helped somebody and you want to get fired up and get mad. Amen. That's the way it works, though. He's got to have his hands tied. Can't do nothing. Amen. That ain't godliness, man. It isn't the will of God, the mind of God, or the revelation. I trust and hope that you can find that relationship with him, that you can come into the house of God with a true desire to worship and to praise. Amen. when little brother prayed tonight, opened up service, he goes, you know, even if we don't want to hear it, Lord, you know, let us hear it anyway. Is that the way you said it? It's real similar to that. Even if we don't want to hear it, just let us hear it. That could be a good thing. You know, it's like, Lord, I may not hear what I want to hear tonight, but I know it's what I might need to hear. I can start with the little children right here. Sister Olivia, have you ever taken medicine before? Does mama ever put medicine in a spoon and give it in your mouth? Have you ever taken medicine before? Yeah. It don't taste good, does it? Yeah, think about it. How about you, little brother? You ever take medicine? Did you like it or was it nasty? Yeah, it was nasty, wasn't it? It was nasty. Yeah, didn't much like it. Amen. So we start with these little ones. How about you, Summer? Did you ever take some old nasty stuff before? Yeah, I thought so. And you know, sometimes the medicine that we need might kind of not taste too good. Amen. It might not taste just like what we want. You know, sometimes Brother Pike used to talk about the preacher standing at the door giving out sugar tits, he called them. And he explained what that was. And they said that the mothers nursing babies and stuff, a lot of times they would do that when they'd be in a public place. They'd put a little sugar cube down in a napkin and twist that thing up. And they'd dip it in a little bit of water and let that baby suck on that. Did anybody know that's what that was? You knew that. Well, you're an old man. I was talking to some of the young folks, man. And he said that's what they would give them, something to just suffice them. They wasn't doing them no good. You know, wasn't satisfying that kid for a moment, but it wasn't giving it nourishment that it needed. You know, we all need nourishment in the Word. Amen. And let's pray while we're standing, and then we'll be seated. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you that we have a church, a home, a brotherhood, a family, Lord, that we could be numbered and be partakers with. We thank you for the opportunities, Lord God, that you give us, Father. The opportunity is either to be obedient or disobedient. And Lord God, I want you to see me come into the house of God with a true thankfulness and gratitude, Lord God, with an honor, knowing that there's people that would like to worship you, but they can't because their life would be threatened or endangered, Lord God, if they went into a public place of worship. Father, I thank you for a brotherhood. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for your commandments. Thank you, Lord God, that we could come to a place with you that the commandments aren't grievous to us. Lord God, knowing, Father, that we anything that would be hard for us as flesh, men or women, things that would hard or require something of us, Father, we give those things up with a pleasure and a gratitude, Lord God, knowing that we could sacrifice something, Lord God, that might even be precious to us just for we could praise and honor you and show you that you are the preeminent one and that you are our Lord and our God. And your ways, Lord God, are what we want to walk in, not our own ways. Father, we know it's written, Lord God, that when a man walks in his own ways, we know that it brings destruction. Father, we don't want to be numbered with them that are walking into destruction. Lord God, we know that there's many numbered in your Bible, Lord God, in the Word, that are blind and have blind leaders. Lord, we don't want to be numbered with that likewise. Father, knowing that many don't have eyes to see and are deceived, Father, we want you to help us, Lord, to walk by your counsel, by your word, by your spirit, Lord God. Father, knowing the time is short, Father, we ask you to help us. Have your way tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. You can all be seated this evening. I can remember several years back, I was praying. I say things like several years back, it might have been 10, it might have been 5, I don't know, probably closer to 10. I know I lived in that home over there. So, Lord, I was praying and he spoke to me. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to walk around the property. I thought, okay. And I remember that's what he asked me. I came out here one night, I had opposition, a lot of obstacles, and we went to purchase this land here, a lot of opposition. And the brethren, after we got all the brethren out here and we came together and we all stood out here on the corner and prayed together, there was a perfect unity and peace except with one man. And the one man got in my face, put his finger in my face, said, you're wrong, brother. And he said, you're going to stand before the complete brotherhood and you're going to have to confess to them that you're wrong and I'm right. He said, you've missed the Lord. Got kind of like, wow. I know I'm getting off the story there a little bit, but when the brother told me that, I was more concerned for the man's soul than I was purchasing this property. But the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't purchase this property, that man will be bound to hell, because it'll strengthen an overconfident spirit that he was already dealing with, and thought he was already more spiritual than the entire brotherhood, including me as the pastor. So then all of a sudden, that's what it took to put the fire in me, to pray, to seek, and to press to get this property, because I knew it had to do with one man going to hell. And I didn't want to see that, because that's what the Lord spoke to me. You know, the thing is, I thought, well, Lord, if you want us to have this piece of property, praise God. You know, I could pray and this, that, but it'll work out if it's your will. But I knew it wasn't his will for a man to perish and to go to hell. And man, I diligently sought the Lord, and he made a way. So many beautiful things. And God prepared people to come up. I didn't go begging for bread. I didn't go pleading, asking people for finances. Right after we made the decision, Steph and Andy decided to give, I believe, $25,000. Is that correct? That was wonderful, but we're still $75,000 shy. And, you know, but praise God. I mean, hey, I didn't say, I hope that didn't sound some kind of, but you know what I'm saying? That was a great miracle. Amen. But I'm thinking, Lord, we're going to have to do something here. And you all know the story, different things and events that took place. And Brother Beebe came up. He had a property, and he went and put a note on the property, said, you make the payment. And he handed, didn't ask me to sign a paper, nothing, handed me $70,000 cash. And we as a church had the other $5,000, give him $100,000 cash for the property when we bought it. And it was considered free and clear in the eyes of the courts and the banks and the titles and the deeds. And then the brother we took, and after got the buildings done where we can finance and different things, we took care of that. And now it's paid for. Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Now, the thing is, brethren, is what I started to say is the Lord spoke to me, I want you to go and walk the property. So I go back to the story. That's what he told me when I come out here to pray that night. I said, I'm going to go out there to that property. I came by myself. It's all covered up with trees about where the road is now. There was a little path cut down, grass this tall, going down through that path. And I went down through there, and I took a sleeping bag with me. I laid it out on the ground and started praying. And the Lord said, I want you to go around the property. Man, there's chiggers, bugs, and alligators out there, man, and woolly boogers. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, and I know you don't ever argue with God, right? But I just wasn't too much in walking around through the woods in the middle. I wouldn't have known where the property was at and things, but I was trying to be obedient to the Lord. I'm not going to finish the story, but I did what he asked me to do. But he told me this. He said, I want you to do that. And I said, okay, Lord, what is going on? As I started walking, I remember coming across up there. And the Lord said, I want you to look. And he was talking about accomplishment that he had done, not what I'd done, but what he had done. The promises that seem so far sometimes. You know, and maybe I'm testifying little things to you all. You know, talking about a little piece of property, a little church and a small group. Maybe you're thinking, you need more faith. I say, yay and amen, pray for me. Amen. But he started wanting me to look and start showing some gratitude to him for what he had done. And I started praising him, man. I'm telling you, I remember thinking, I thought, you know, Lord, it's a shame that you got to ask me to show appreciation and gratitude. And you know, the natural realms and the spiritual realms tie together. When you find a man or a woman doesn't have thankfulness or gratitude for their families or friends or anything, they don't have any for God. Thus saith the Lord. I tell you, thus saith the Lord. They don't have it with God. They have an expectation of God, and God owes me this and that. They got the same mind and the same set. Now, this isn't where I was planning on going. I'm just, again, just like he asked me to walk around, start showing thankfulness to him. Amen. And when you come to the house of God, there should be something in your spirit saying, you know, I just want to praise you, Lord, and thank you. I want to give you honor for what you've done for me, because I know I haven't done nothing compared to what you've done for me. What have you done that's compared to being nailed to a tree? You know, with a true, genuine thankfulness that he was able to die for you and I. That's awesome, isn't it? I tell you, we're serving such a mighty God. and a great God. And I'll tell you, my praises and my gratitude and my expressions couldn't even come close to the worthiness that he is, of how worthy he is to be praised and magnified and lifted up and exalted. Amen. And the thing is if the people could get the blindness off their hearts and their eyes and their minds and just simply come into that place that they could just raise up their hands and say, I love you, Lord. I want to praise you. That's what you need in your heart. I just want to praise you, Lord. This is something I want to do, Lord. I don't want to do it because the preacher wants me to or the music minister wants me to. I don't want to do this because this is what I know you expect of me. But there's something in my heart that just wants to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I just wants to thank you, Lord God, for setting me free. You know, I think of the multiplied millions of people just in America that are lost, brother. The millions upon millions upon millions of people in the United States of America. And God loved Brother Rob enough that he moved me 2,600 miles away from where I lived at and set me under a man of God that wasn't afraid to hurt your feelings. He wasn't afraid to whoop your hind end. He wasn't afraid to insult you. You know that? He wasn't afraid to rebuke you. He wasn't afraid to tell you, you know, I don't care what you think, my friend, but this is the way it is. Yay and amen. You're not going to make a decision about this and about. And you see, I had to learn to willingly submit to that. I could say, who do you think you are, dude? I've been making my own way for 30-some years. I've got me a family. I could have argued with it, but I said, you know what? I remember when things got tough, I'd say, Lord, I know this is what I asked for. And it wasn't exactly what Brother Rob was asking for. But I didn't really know what I was asked for, but it was what I was asked for. I wanted a real man of God. I was offered churches over and over that they wanted me to take and pastor, over and over. I was offered churches. I said, nope, something ain't right. I said, man, I can't take this. I can't do this. There's too many things that I'm not getting the answers for. Old preachers gave me answers everywhere I went, but they didn't work right here. They didn't fit. They didn't work. And the thing is we come to a place that we find these answers that fit here, and we're satisfied with that because we're carnal-minded and we're natural. And we learn to reason in our own mind, and we think, okay. And somebody like Google or some theologian or some commentary in your Bible is going to give you some kind of an answer, and you're going to say, oh, yes, I see that. I can understand that. But that's not how we're supposed to see. We're not supposed to see it that way. We're supposed to see it from the heart, from the mind of Christ, the singular eye. And when we see it from that, and we can see things with that and see things by that, that we might not be able to explain to somebody else up here. You see, people, when you're talking to them from up here, they want something that is tangible or something that is relative that they could piece together in their understanding. But let me tell you something. When it goes by the Spirit, it's a totally different thing altogether. I had so many preachers answering questions for me. And, you know, it's like, well, you didn't know, so this is the answer. Take it. You know, if I had confidence in you in mathematics, I'd say, what's the formulation to figure this out? And he'd say, thus, us, and us. Well, I'm going to try the formula. But you see, in the spirit world, when you ask a question, there's a spirit that's dwelling in you if you're spirit-filled, number one, Holy Ghost-filled, and you really have a love for the truth. When you're rejecting the word, rejecting the truth, and trying to skate around the issues in life, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's going to bring you to lay down before the Lord. You're going to lay down before him, and you're going to submit to that. You understand that? You're going to submit to God. Amen? This is what you'll do. And his word is going to become the preeminent thing in your life and seeking his word. But when your intellectual mind is reasoning, you're on your way to hell because it's the carnal mind, and the carnal mind is death. And death is separation from God, and separation from God because you have a spirit in you that never dieth. So it's got to go to hell. Hell wasn't made for man. Hell was made for the spirit that you reason with. I know it sounds like I'm starting off in strong exhortations here, and I'm not mean to, I'm talking, you either have one of two destinies. We have one of two masters. And the thing is your intellectual mind, the one that you think with, the one that you make decisions with and do with every day, is the enemy of God. And you say, what do you want us to do, Brother Rob? I want you to pray in the Spirit and pray in the Holy Ghost and worship your God, and He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. But you can't do it when you're making the decisions and continually making decisions and continually making decisions. As a minister, you try to help people and you're trying to help make decisions because their life has been shambled. This is a common thing ministers deal with. Daily thing. Their life is in shambles. This little brother, Chuck's nephew, just kind of, the poor little brother, man, my heart goes out to the guy. He had drove for 2,400 or 2,500 miles to come to a place that he could get some help with, and then turn and rejects it. I told him the story about my grandfather throwing the stuff in the flower bed. No difference. Much more different. Much more. This is much more significant or much more dangerous. But the same mind, the same thing. And you know, your heart goes out. You know, and I had a man come up to me one time, and he comes walking up. I was outside my house, and he comes up. He said, hey, I need some counsel. I said, I'm not going to counsel you. And he said, why? And I said, because the counsel I gave you yesterday, you rejected. And the reason you're for counsel today is because the consequences for reject that counsel, now you even got you another problem. You go figure it out. That's not a good place to come to with a preacher. It's not a good place to come to when the preacher says, go on, Balaam, do whatever you're going to do. I talk about Einstein oftentimes about not his great mind, but his great quote or statement. He said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. I called a brother yesterday. He's here tonight, and I won't say anything, but I called him and I said, look, I've been watching a pattern in your life for a long time, and it looks like we might be going back down the same pattern again, knowing what the consequences are for that. I said, if anybody knows the consequences for doing the same thing over, here's another opportunity, another blessing that's fallen in your life by the grace of God. But the formulation is the same. To continue to stay and walk in the blessings of God and the provisions of God is obedient to Him. And if you don't think being in the house of God is a necessary obedience, then you got your problem. We don't forsake the assembling together. You know, that's just one thing. To seek Him first with all of your life, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Amen? And let Him be the preeminent one and Him the most supreme thing in all of your life. That He is everything to you. And everything that you do, you want it to be pleasing unto Him. Then you become a candidate to have the provisions, the blessings, and all these things come to you. Amen? I know that I say a lot of things repetitively, but you know, if we had 10 doors opened up there and I had 10 different keys, you got to have the key to get through that door. And I say, this door right here is this, take this key. So when I see these different doors that need to be opened up in your life, if it's for prosperity, if it's for deliverance, if it's for healing, you understand that? If it's for joy or whatever, I know the key to open that door. If I don't know how to get the door open, I got no business being a pastor, number one. Amen? So the thing is I say, well, wait a minute. You're struggling with the door, and you've been standing at this door for 15 years. All you need is the key. It's that simple. Give them the key. And then when you try to give them the key, this one here will work. It ain't worked for 15 years. It ain't worked for 10 years. It ain't worked for 5 years. Let's try this key. And you know, I've got patience, brethren. Tribulation bring forth patience, okay? I do have patience. But and let me tell you why, not just from the tribulations, but yes, they do bring forth patience. But I have observed people that have been doing the same thing for several years get their eyes opened and all of a sudden get a revelation, say, you know what? I'm going to do it different this time. And something breaks in their spirit, and they go, wow. Something finally breaks in their spirit, and then all of a sudden they make an alteration, a change. That gives me encouragement to say, don't give up, Brother Rob. Go ahead and, you know, that extra mile might be where they get on board. You know, that extra mile might be where they, you know, where this thing goes. So you have, you know, a hope. Charity believeth all things. And I believe, you know, Lord, it's been 20 years. You know, it's been 10 years. You know, it's been 5 years, whatever it is. But charity believeth all things. And I believe that that man, I believe that this woman could get their eyes open. I believe that they could see. You know, and I could keep on believing and keep on trusting and keep on praying and keep on believing and keep on trusting and keep on praying and keep on believing and keep on trusting. And you say, well, I think I got that the first time, but don't stop at the first time. Keep on praying, keep on believing and keep on trusting. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. When you've done all the Bible says to stand, continue to stand. Amen. Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's read here a little bit. I just opened it up back there a couple minutes ago and thought maybe we'll read a little here out of the scriptures and see if the Lord will speak to us tonight and edify us and encourage us in the gospel. Amen. How many want to be encouraged in the Lord? And I say amen. I do too, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, let's change the word living there to dead. Changes a whole lot to it, doesn't it? Seriously, just changing that word to dead. What is something that's dead? I know we talk about twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and thus, but something dead doesn't have anything to offer, does it? Fertilizer. Well, we'll put them around the tree, a little dung. You know. Praise God. See, there's hope in all things, man. We could take that old wretch and just use him for fertilizer. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, something alive, something with substance, something with a meaning, something that, hey, here I am, Lord. I'm going to take my talents. I'm going to take my abilities. I'm going to take my skills. I'm going to take my life. I'm going to take it all and give it to you, Lord. It's alive. It's living. It's going to do something. It's moving. Amen? Amen. Give that to the Lord. He wants that. Oh, here I am, God. Please help me. Holy. It doesn't say fleshly there, does it? I know we could talk about fleshly sacrifice, brother, but we're talking here in this scripture about being the sons of the Lord, sons of God. Amen? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. People question me about, well, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? What is conformity to the world to you? If I'm involved in all the new fashions and all the new fads and in all the present day things happening in this world, then I'm conforming to this world. Is that right? If I dress like the world, look like the world, I listen to worldly music, I go to the same places the worldly people go, then what is it? What's happening then? I'm conforming to the world. Right now in our country, if I'm conforming to the world, then I'm going to conform to what they do. I'm going to be at the sports arenas. I'm going to be watching the ball games. Come on now. I'm going to be doing the very same things that they do. And I'm going to find the same thrills that they're finding in the same things. There's a conformity to the world. Is that right? You know, we don't want to read our Bibles. We reason in our mind. I'm reaching for a soul tonight, folks. I'm reaching for a soul. I'm maybe having to leave 99 or 15 or 20 or 50 of you or whatever, but I'm reaching for a soul because the mind, I see the mind, brethren. I see the mind, and the mind will absolutely, unless this thing is brought into an order and a submission in a short order of time, the individual, and it's not just one, but I'm saying one is really on my heart right now to reach their soul. Because of the human reasoning in their mind and the overconfidence of an intellectual perspective and arguing with God's word. That's frightening to me, I'm sorry. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get that nasty, wretched, overconfident, self-righteous, self-willed mind out of you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, not that God's going to prove anything to you, but that you may. Come on now, saints. We always sit back and we have these dried up prayers. Oh, God. You know, and you know, we're going to have to press into him. We're going to have to struggle and fight and push. But we want to sit back in our intellectual carnal mind and just sit and talk and, oh, you know, praise God. Man, there has to be somewhere in your life, you know, of a travail of a sacrifice and of a giving. Come on now, laying your life down. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That ye may prove. How many of you have proved what is the acceptable will of God? I know that many people haven't come to this. I'm a pastor. That doesn't make me anything, but I'm saying because I'm sometimes a pastor's dealing with things that other people don't know nothing about. And they're talking and dealing and praying and counseling continually. And you know, and it's evident that you have not proved what is the good and acceptable perfect will of God. When the things that the holiness preachers teach and seem to be a law to you, and they seem to be such a restraint on your life. You know, it's like, why are they taking my liberties away? Why are they taking my freedom away? You know how many people I've known have left the work like this and said, oh man, I'm free now. Man, I've been liberated and free. A preacher friend of mine, one I allowed to preach here in the church, was speaking about a person and he started telling me about this individual and they left a apostolic or a UPC or whatever, a oneness type work, Pentecostal work. Had hair down their ankles, they said. Boy, and they went and cut their hair off. And I could sense in the spirit the rejoicing. That they had been liberated from something. You know, and I'm thinking, no. And I said to the brother, I said, that conversation is a conversation of somebody that's on their way to hell. When you find that you have rejected the doctrine or rejected the traditions of the elders, the Bible talks about traditions of men and tradition of the elders. There are some places it speaks of the traditions of men. You know, we're not going to go away. But when you start departing from holiness and lightly esteeming it and mocking it and some kind of a conformity to biblical standards and word. Brethren, maybe not everybody's held accountable to that. But once you've been enlightened and tasted of those kind of things and then you depart it and mock it. I watched people leave Brother Pike's work. Numerous. And that's the same testimony they had. I've seen them leave this church, and that's the same testimony they had. The same testimony. When you start seeing women cutting off their hair, brother, and it's a problem. It's a problem every time. It has a very powerful significance because of the angels. It has to do with the glory of God. And they start whacking off their hair and whacking off the hair with some kind of just no thoughts or no nothing to it. It's a problem. Every single time. Anytime a woman even goes to get her hair trimmed, I don't care if it's in the middle or back, she needs to do it prayerfully with consideration. I told you I like that brother's doctrine better than one that we preach because he just snipped it at the bud like Brother George done many things. He just snipped it at the bud and said, don't cut it, period, the end. I like that much better, and that's God's honest truth because people will press you in the spirit. And they want to get it as short as they can and get it as short as they can just to vex the preacher and see what they could do. I don't like to be pressed in my spirit. Amen. It's not profitable to grieve the man of God. Can we go on just a little bit? Is it okay just to share the gospel with you tonight? Well, if you could do it without rebuking us, well, I'll try not to. Ain't making no promises here. I love y'all. I love you enough that I'll bring the word of God unwatered down to you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. To every man that is among you. Is anybody an every man here? Sisters, come on. You say, oh, where are them brothers at? In scriptures like this, that's including you. Because you're part of mankind. To every man, to every woman that would think too highly of themselves. to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That's a great revelation for a man to come to. When you're on a job site, working men, carnal men, not trying to speak spiritual, but you'll find in the natural realms, they'll parallel the spiritual realms. You'll see a man snagging up in the natural. He never can submit to another man. He always has the better idea. He's always going to do it different. He's not going to submit. He's always pushing his way into something, and it's got to be his way or it won't be done at all. That man right there is not submitted naturally or spiritually. A good leader in the business mind, in the business world, they sit under a good trainer, and they learn to shut their mouth and submit and listen and help and do things. Then one day, as they progressed through the ranks, we might say, they came up and then they started doing the same thing, teaching and training and doing the very same thing. The same thing runs in the parallels in the spiritual realms. In the spiritual realm, it runs identically the same way. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You say, how'd you get all that out of that? Well, what are they speaking about here? I could put the burden back on you. What are they speaking about? You say the offices of a fivefold ministry, the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist. Do you realize that those all have a different order? Those ministries have a different order? And do you realize that, I know in the teaching, the standard teaching of the fivefold ministry, you know, they put the apostle over it as the headship of the local body, and that's true. It's exactly right. But even at that, there's still an order to that. That pastor is the one married unto that work, and he's there day in and day out for the people's sake, and there is an order in that. You see, if I was having marital problems as a young man, and I went to my father that had been married many more years than me and said, Dad, I need some help here, man. I've got a complication going on in my marriage. Can you help me fix it? It'd be nice if we all had godly fathers that we can go to for godly counsel. Not everybody has that opportunity, I'm sorry to say. But that's where pastors come in and involved. And hopefully they're godly and have marriages and things of such that they can offer assistance and help. But when you go, there's still an order. Even though you're asking for help, there's an order. You see, I can't bypass the headship of a man to his wife. You understand that? That's the man. Now, when the man goes in full rebellion against God and the woman's put into a position she can't, then she can come to a pastor for some counsel. And he could help guide her through the calamity. But there's some very, very, very careful things that have to be done in those situations. Just talking about the order of God, brethren. So again, verse 4, we're going to go right into 5. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. This is defining offices. I guess I should have just read on down. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You see, even your prophecy needs to be according to the measure of faith that you got. Let me compare myself to Brother Pike for a moment. There's times I would discern a spirit. Okay, when I was with him, sitting under him, I could discern, I said, man, this, and I got this uneasy feeling about a brother, a man, or something that come in, or maybe a traveler, a preacher, a man, whatever. And I'd say, man, this guy's spirit ain't right with God. I'd talk to my pastor about it. You know, I wanted to fine-tune and get a greater measure of discernment, to get a greater measure of understanding, to exercise the gifts of God that he's using, was using in my life. And I would go to him and talk to him about what I would have seen to whatever measure I saw it in. And he would say, brother, that's the Lord talking to you. I used to have a dad that was my teacher and trainer in aviation. If I was having trouble with something, I could talk to him about the things he was relative to. I could get in an airplane with me and help me. My pastor could help me. And he would do that. There were some people that were afraid to ask him questions because before the other people, they would feel like they're dumb. They were dumb not to. And they just stayed dumb, and some plumb dumb. Amen? I would rather ask. You can think I'm dumb, but I'm going to learn if I ask. Amen? Too many people want to project themselves to be, you know, top rooster in the pen or whatever. You know what I'm saying? No amen. Y'all quiet tonight, man. Not even one amen out there? Amen. Come on, Brother Fred. You're good for an amen, ain't you? Amen. Having then gifts deferring according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I've seen people get out of the proportion of faith and they get into their flesh and into their own thoughts. And the prophecy started out being as thus saith the Lord. And it went into their desires, their wants, and what they think should be the direction of God for a group or an individual. I've seen that more times than not. I've seen it more times. A minister can get under the anointing of God and have a word for the people because that's where his proportion of faith's at. He gets the word delivered, but it ain't good enough for him and he wants to keep going. Goes into projection of self. Projection of him, and then all of a sudden the Lord just backs away, and it usually goes south and sour. Sometimes he'll be more merciful than others. Amen. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Beautiful scriptures. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be a big revelation to come to that right there. Sometimes we want to grab onto the things that are evil, brethren. We want to grab onto the worldly things, those things. But we need to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Another wonderful revelation if we can come to that. In honoring, preferring one another. Brethren, this is lacking in the church of America, in the church, and many times in our own church here. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, why did he have to throw a business matter in right here when he's talking about spiritual things that'll put you in hell? And keep you from the kingdom of God. Right here in the midst of all this, not slothful in business. Because a man that's slothful in business isn't going to be fervent in the spirit. That's why that's there. That's why it's right in there in the same very thing. You find a man that's slothful in business, you're not going to find he's not fervent in the spirit, nor is he serving the Lord. He won't be. You see, we got to bring the word line upon line. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Most time tribulation comes, we can get out of it as quick as we can. Patient in it. It's a gift, brethren. It's a measure. It's an office. Distributing to the necessities of saints. Giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That's a tough one. Bless them that persecute you and curse not. Okay, Lord, can I just give up one of those? You know, this guy's persecuted me. Sorry, no good, reprobate. Sleazy, no good, slow belly. No. Bless them which persecute you. Man, we need to have a prayer meeting right now. Come on, saints. You know, Lord, you said you won't put more on us to bear. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Help me, Jesus. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. But the ones that are weeping will usually use them while they're bowed down before the altar to weep. We'll use them to step on them and go up to the next level. That sounds rough, I know, brother, but sometimes, boy, we're insensitive. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Which one's more important here? There's some people that would never rejoice with you. And there's some people that would never weep with you. But what about a son of God? We need to feel the infirmities of our friends and our brethren, especially our brethren. If we can't feel the infirmity of our own brotherhood, how are we going to feel the one that's persecuting us and cursing us? How are we ever going to do it? This is exhortation from the Word of God to you and I tonight, to you, to me. Well, the preacher's always wearing it. No, the Word of God is speaking to our hearts, and we got to bring a conformity to this. We got to bring a conformity to this Word. We're required to conform to the Word of God. I've poured out my heart in this church, had people looking right back at me, and they couldn't get out the door quick enough. They had their mind made up, and it's going to go contrary to what God's Word says immediately. And I've watched the consequences. I've seen it in their families over and over and over again. We got to take heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we'd let them slip away. That's the Bible. We got to take heed. We got to be diligent. We got to press into the kingdom, press into the Word. We got to make ourselves available to God. We got to find time to be holy, brethren. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Why'd you take us here tonight, Lord? Could you just give us a little bit at a time? Y'all quiet tonight. Come on. Did he have to put all that in just one chapter? I know Brother Rob reads a chapter. Could you just made it a little smaller? Yeah, we're going to do 12 and 12 and a half next week. Amen? Brethren, this is the Word of God. Why do we think in our minds that we could just, okay, well, you know, old Brother Bo could do it, that's okay, but it don't matter. Man, that kind of nonchalant kind of lasciviousness will destroy you and kill you. When you reason the Word of God, and you hear the Word, and you reason the Word, and reason the Word, you are in danger of hellfire. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of a low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. It's getting tougher. I'll show him. He thinks he's going to talk to me that way. I'll show him. I'll show him. Even this minister I was speaking to about some of the things that he was talking about. And when he's dealing with it, he said, "Brother, you got no say-so in this matter." Basically let him know and rebuked him. And you know what he done after he got off that conversation? He went out and bought the first lady, not his wife, his pastor that passed away 6-7 months ago, bought her a new car. I think it's close to $40,000. And you say, he's arrogant, ain't he? Somebody, let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. You know, what you're forgetting about is that there's a church that's running close to 1,000 people, and there was a first lady that was there from Foundation Day that sold out with her husband and gave of her life, and she's driving a car 290,000 miles on it, and because the salt's on the road, the body running through with the rust. And I appreciate a man of God say, that is an elder that was here before me that stayed on her knees with a godly man to bring forth a work of God. And this brother said, this is our reasonable service, my friend. This is what we should be doing, is taking care. And they took up some pledges in a meeting, and they've already got the $28,000 of it in cash already. And the dealership has come way down off of the thing. He said, we're going to have it paid for before the thing is delivered in 2 weeks. Isn't that awesome? See, that should thrill your heart. But people sit and resent that. And, you know, my wife's brother's passed away, and I guess I don't have much wisdom when I use people as that. But they got a new pastor in his church. And he came here to my home, right over here, not but a couple years before he passed away. And he said, my pastor, we got a new pastor, and he thinks he's going to do this, but, man, I'm going to show him. And I thought, your spirit ain't right, brother. That ain't the way you deal with things. You allow the man of God, that's not the deacon's place. It's not his position. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you just been laying this foundation all night. You just get to do what you want. You like this other preacher because he's doing what he's want. He's got a brotherhood, brother, and he gets together just like we do. and they do talk about these things. But there's people that'll go around out in the out with the, around the brethren and be on the phones and on the Facebooks and all that, and they're always finding fault what they're going to do. Amen. I tell you, I don't know for exactly sure maybe why this brother would call me, but I commended him. I said, man, praise God. Praise the Lord, man, for buying this first lady an automobile. Man, I'm moved. I think it wasn't just something he needed to do. It's something that my Lord and my God expected him to do. Amen? Amen. Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. We can go back and talk about patience for a minute. Sometimes we're not patient enough to allow the Lord to do that. I'm going to show him. Come on, how many, if we was all going to be honest, I said, stand to your feet if you ever done this. I thank everybody here. But there, how many times it rose up and you said, well, I'm going to show him. I'm going to get even with him. I'm going to show him how big of a reprobate he is. I'm going to let him know who I am. I'm going to let him know what kind of authority I got. I'm going to mess his day up. I'm going to mess his world up. Come on now. We should understand that language, huh? Yeah, oh me. We got one honest guy in here. What about you, John? Help me, Jesus. What about you, Brother Greg? Yeah, you wanted to choke a guy just the other day, didn't you? Bad thing is, the preacher wanted to help you. No. No. Oh, help us, Lord. You know, brethren, when the Bible teaches us how to think, tells us to transform our minds, to cast these things down, we're going to have to start identifying that kind of mind. We just go along and, you know, thus, us, and us. I had a guy write me a letter and asking me a question. And he's wanting me to help explain to him about the inner man and the outer man. And about how, you know, the differences between these two. And I'm thinking, like, well, okay, praise God. But, you know, where's the pastor? I mean, this is something that we should be taught. I'm speaking to you tonight, and the Word of God is exposing the way the outer man thinks. And we're trying to draw forth from the wellsprings of life the inner dwelling place of purity and righteousness and wealth and prosperity and joy, everything that pertains. And we got to pull that forth and pull it out. But what we do is we cap it or resist it through yielding to the members of the outer man and his mind and his desires and his wishes and his wants. But if we would totally 100% sell out to God and seek him with all of our hearts, he will fulfill all the desires of your heart. And you say, but what if I got evil desires? Then you're not a candidate. If your desires are evil, you're not a candidate because you're not seeking him with all of your heart. Because if you're seeking with him with all of your heart, brethren, those evil desires are going to be purged out of you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Trust him. Lay down. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to be the last say-so in the matter. You don't have to make your point. Show some humility. Show some godliness. Sometimes you can just smile and say, man, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you, man. God bless you. And go on. That could be more powerful. I know I could take you into some other passages of Scripture, show you that you reprove them, rebuke them sharply. I understand that. But sometimes we always yield to the wrong ones. Especially when our flesh gets involved. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now that scripture was put there to go right along with verse 19. You say, was that the only time we apply that, Brother Rob? Well, let me tell you something. There's a time that you could feed a man and give him drink and be out of the will of God. So you got to go line upon line and precept upon precept. You've heard me say this. I have people want me to put money in their pockets, and you think I owe this to you or I need to do this because I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to show the Christian benevolence and love, and you want me to give this, and this is your expectation of me to give you money. But I said, the same God that you don't understand something about is giving me also wisdom, and you ain't got bottoms in your pockets, and it makes me stupid to do it. Do you understand that? Huh? Let me ask you a question. If you go down and stop down here on the way to town to put gas in your car, and you put the little thing in and you're squeezing it, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you see gas running out under your feet, are you going to stop and look to why or where it's coming from? Well, it'll fill up one day. Let's just keep putting her in there. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, I use these crazy little, you know, analogies, so to speak, and, you know, about somebody just keeps pumping gas in there. What are they doing? They're putting themselves in harm's way, number one, got gas running on their feet, but it's kind of foolish. Gas ain't cheap, and it's running out on the ground. But then yet, why would we take our substance or finances and do the same thing? If it's running out on the ground and God's cursing or God's blowing, if God's the one blowing on them, on their substance because of their willful sin or their disobedience, then why would he ask you to add back? Let the Lord have his way. God, wouldn't you rather see God judge your brother, your friend, your family on this side as do it on the other? And we get in God's way of judging. And I say, you know, Lord, you are so merciful to judge them on this side, to make their life miserable on this side. You are so merciful. You understand what I'm saying? It's the mercies of God to rip you into pieces on this side instead of on the other. I say the same things over. You're better off to pluck your eyes out and make it in blind. That would be mercy, wouldn't it? It would be mercy to cut your legs, feet off, hands off, whatever, and make it into the kingdom maimed as go to hell and be with all your health. Got your hands, got your feet, and you go to hell. But see, brethren, we got to learn to think by the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, and we don't want to ever get in God's way and allow him to do or to fulfill the word. Allow him to fulfill the scriptures and the word of God. Y'all love the Lord tonight? Let's stand together tonight. Amen. I appreciate you coming out. It's good to have the Lamberts home. It's good, isn't it, Brother Ed? I appreciate y'all coming out the house of God tonight. It means a lot to me to have faithful people and loyal people that frequent the house of God. Amen. If it is pleasing to the pastor is one thing, but I can tell you this, it's pleasing to God. It's you letting the Lord know that he's important to you, that the word is important to you, that his word and fulfilling his word and walking in the fulfillment of his word is important to you. That's what we want to do. Amen. We'll sing a song or two and close the service. And touch the Lord as he goes by.
You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by.
Do you love him tonight, saints? Has your spirit ever made a contact with him tonight? During the ministering of the word, during the worship time before, here we are at the altars, can you challenge yourself a question? Have I made contact with him tonight? Have I felt that connection in the spirit? Have I felt the virtue of his virtue moving into my being? Have I felt the cleansing, purging power of the Holy Ghost moving in my spirit? Amen. Have I felt that? Have I got a touch? I came to the house of God to learn. I came to the house of God to hear. I came to the house of God, but have I really made that real genuine connection to him? Amen. I'm just talking to you as a brother, pastor, as a friend. That's, you know, my desire when I come to the house of God. I want to pray until I find and feel that spirit of the Holy Ghost bearing witness in me, moving in me, thrusting through me. Amen. I tell you, it brings strength. It brings a purity a wholesomeness. It brings a joy. Amen. That's your obligation. I know I could lay hands and impart gifts and different things according to the Word of God. And there's many things that I can do. But when you reject or resist, then all of a sudden the pastor, he'll find that the Spirit of God is pulling him back from doing that. And then you find yourself in a place that you must travail to get in. Or possibly, God could say, that's it. I'm done. That's a terrible place to be. When God starts telling me to draw back from a man or a woman or a family and say, let them be on their own because they're not listening, they're rejecting the counsel of God. That's a frightening place. It's a scary place to be. Amen. I don't want to be there, Brother John. Amen. I've kicked against things too many times in my life. Amen. I've seen the consequences because of my foolishness. I've been in the hospital rooms with my own children, brother, because of my ignorance and my foolishness. Amen. I've seen multi-million dollar businesses come to naught and get taken down and shaken down because I was Jonah on board, brother. So I think I could speak out of experience of what it means to rebel against God when He has a purpose for you and a plan for you. My father told me, he said, my hardest job is to save pilots from their own self. He said, these men, if I don't put the brakes on, they'll go out and kill themselves. I find that in the ministry, sometimes it's the same way, that you're trying to save children and families from their own curses of their own parents. Because the parents are blind and walking in blindness, and they will literally destroy and kill their own families and family members by not following and yielding to the mind and the will of God. Sufficed with religion. Sufficed with just religion. Amen. We need more than being involved in a church, brother. We need a relationship with our God. We need to have a spirit that wants to just worship and praise Him. We should feel such a drawing to be in His presence and to just tell Him, I love you, Lord. Amen. I tell you, there should be something in your saying, I love you, Jesus. Let's worship Him, saints.
They shall mount up with wings like an eagle.
We love you, Jesus.
Run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Was you able to contact your sister? Did you try? Huh? Oh, you called? You spoke and just hung up? Well, thank you for trying. I think it has to do with a healing process. I think it needs to be done. See, when we do things like that, it doesn't matter of their reaction. Their reaction isn't what's important. It's a matter that you had applied and done a thing. Next thing is a letter. Just a letter. Sit down and pray first. Just say, Lord, help me. I'm not telling you to be real religious. You'll rip it up and throw away, forget it. I'm not saying offer reproof. Just talk about you, not her problems, her weaknesses, her failures, her lies. Talk about your own. Say, you know, I failed. I failed you as a brother, as a friend even. I failed my God and my family. I just want you to know, if anything I've done to you, I'm sorry. See, that's Christ. Sometimes we go to people, we offer an apology with another attachment to it. Well, I'm sorry, but you're still a jerk. Well, forgive me for calling you that, but I really shouldn't have said that, but you are ignorant. Come on now, how many have ever given those kind of apologies before? The same opposition, he's come up to this wall and this door and this threshold over and over. And you know, this would seem so far from an obstacle that he's got to come through. It wouldn't even be in the mind of man or thoughts. But why all of a sudden, because of this standing at this threshold again, and then a sister makes a contact to me that I would not have known how to get a hold of, where she's at, what nation, what country, anything she's in. Why? You see, all things are orchestrated by the counsel of God. And we just got to learn to see and go. And it might seem so insignificant of one of these things in your life, but it'd be the very thing to keep you from stepping through the next realm. Every man in this church, no matter how highly they think of themselves, have limited themselves before God, John, including me. And there's things in your life and in my life that we go along and we seem to always make excuses for them instead of trying to perfect or change them. It's just what I am. Have you accepted just the way you are, Ed? Has Brother Rob accepted just this way I am, you know, so be it. God, you're just going to have to accept me like this. But he wants us to make alterations and changes, Brother Ed. And he wants us, you and I, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. This message tonight, if you were the only one here tonight, it would still have gone forth in exactly the same way. This message was directed to you, to me, to Manny. Amen. Brother, this is the word of God. You say, well, you know, we could have been a little more exuberant. You know, we could have ran and shout. I've done all that too. But brother, somewhere we got to just simply take this word and we got to apply it. I got to say, Lord, put this in me. I like a vision Brother George had. He said he knew the Lord was right there. And he said he knew it and knew it, but he just wanted to just go so fast he could get this look. And he said, pow! Went right in him. Amen. That's what I want. Yeah. I want him to be in me. You say, well, I thought you'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, I have. But you know what? I want that Spirit of God, brethren. I want him to just walk with me and fellowship with me and talk with me and move in me and have his way in me. And I want to get out of his way. I've hindered him long enough, Brother Ed. Could you say that?
Yes.
Could you say that, Brother Billy? How about you, Sister Hannah? Steph? I'm talking to people that are making great exploits and doing great things for God, Brother John. But still, you know what? What makes us think we've achieved and arrived? I talked to my pastor, Brother George, and he's the brightest light I ever met. And you know, when you would get down and that man would talk to you, he felt like the least of all in the kingdom of God. Because God had given him and shown him so many things, and he felt so unworthy. Because God showed him so many great things and beautiful things. He never presented himself as some kind of arrogant individual. Now, when devils would get in his face, he would react strong. He wasn't going to bow down no devil, brother. But that wasn't an action of some kind of arrogancy. It was the power of God demonstrating through him. I know it got you all standing here a moment. Let's sing another song, amen. I'm going to encourage you. Keep on going. I'm saying it's something that you need to consider. Why'd that all of a sudden here in your face? You're the one that spoke it. I didn't. You said, I'm a contactor. And my spirit inside said, good. I thought, well, good. Praise God. And something need to be done. Amen. I know you've been burdened about your dad, thinking I've made a mistake. I want to love him. You challenge yourself continually. You beat yourself up with condemnation. Don't feel you fit to be considered a Christian because of the way you feel about your dad. He done a lot of terrible things to you. I was there. I know that. But the thing is, he can't change and probably never will. He's an Ethiopian, okay? But you can. You could remove the hate for him and turn it to a pity. Into a forgiveness and a mercy. I feel sorry for your dad. His eternity is damnation forever in hell. He done a lot of bad things, but I don't desire to see him go there. You can't reach him. So quit trying. Just pray. That's all you could do is pray. I could share somebody by name that has been probably the most rebellious person. Family member. Most rebellious person that you know, or one that's been great, bound in drugs, immoralities, filthy woman. I seen a post that said, I can't wait to go to church tonight. And I thought, wow, God could reach out. He could reach down to the uttermost, the most vile, the most perverted, the most filthy, the most ungodly. And he could pull them right out of the mire, mold them, and bring them up. Amen. Let's pray. Point your hands toward the altars. Most gracious Father, I thank you for this brother. Father God, I know, Lord God, how the enemy can perplex our mind and our thoughts. I know that he can bring condemnation to us, Lord God. But Father, I rebuke condemnation, Father God, and I say, let there be peace here. Father, any root of bitterness from the failures of his parents, Lord God. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to clean those things out and remove them, Lord God. Father, it hinders this, my brother, from going and proceeding on with you. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to cleanse this heart, cleanse this soul, Lord God, and this brother, Father God, of this enemy that has perplexed him for so long. Father, let him turn the bitterness and the hate against them that have wronged him, truly wronged him. Let him turn it into a gratitude and a thankfulness, Lord God, for those things molded him and made him for what he can be, Lord God, in you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that I know what it means to be crucified in the house of my friends. And Father, as this brother has to learn to experience these things and know that he does have a Father, a heavenly Father, Lord God, that'll never harm him, never lead him astray, never hurt him, Lord God, that'll lead him and direct him into all paths of righteousness and provide to him only pure and good things, Lord God. Father, let him make that transformation 100%, Lord, and not let the beggarly elements of the past, Lord God, Father, harm or hurt him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. I speak purity and pure thoughts. I speak joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I speak that the mercy that has been given to him and to me could be come forth from him towards the others that have harmed and robbed him, Lord God. Father, I rebuke the iniquity in Jesus Christ's name, and I call it not in Jesus' name. And I say it's over and it's finished and it's done in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That your works on the cross of Calvary were sufficient to take this infirmity and iniquity away from this, my brother. Father, I ask for a healing right now in Jesus' name. Healing, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, help him. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Y'all love the Lord, amen. Isn't it wonderful just to be in the presence of the Lord? Has anybody found the presence of him tonight?
Yes, amen.
Seriously, brethren, come on. Did you just come to church, or did you really find the presence of the Lord? Amen. You know, there's nothing greater than peace. You know, peace like a river. Amen. peace, wonderful peace. Flowing down. Don't know all the song words, but I think it's from heaven above. Amen. Amen. There ain't nothing like the peace of God. Amen. It brings clarity. It brings insight. It brings corrective vision. Amen.
Amen.
It brings the things of God into real. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing another song, brethren. We'll tarry just a while. However the Lord sees fit. Praise him. I will praise him. Can you praise him, saints? Amen. Can you just praise him because he is our God and our Lord? He is our salvation. Amen. He's our provider. Amen. Our healer. Our deliverer. He's our God. An awesome God he is. A good God. Hallelujah. He loves you. He wants to help you and lead you. The only one that can hinder him from doing that is you. Because he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And when a sheep starts hearing the voice of God, he'll listen and he won't go to a stranger. He's going to follow after God. Amen. And when I see him following the voice of a stranger, it troubles me. They got hearing problems, visual problems. Are there others who would like to come in the altars this evening before we close? And just worship Him and praise Him and exalt His name. Amen. You say, I don't have to be in the altars to do that. And I say, I know. But I'll tell you what, sometimes just that action of stepping forward. Amen. Amen. And just step forward and say, man, Lord, I love You. And I just want to be it known amongst this brotherhood, amongst these people, that I'm stepping forward just to exalt and to praise Your name, to lift You up, Lord God, all above all other gods, amen, and to praise You, Lord God. You're my God and You're worthy, hallelujah. You're worthy of all praise, amen. I love You, Jesus, amen. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. I like that, amen. Thought You was going home, and now we're in the altars, amen. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I hear You say, I love You, Jesus, Natalie? Can you say, I love You, Jesus? Yeah. Amen. Hello, Brother David. Come here. Can I shake your hand tonight? I love you. Let's worship Him a minute, saints. I will pray. Can I hear somebody just tell Him that you love Him? You say, I could tell Him and He could hear me, but I'd like to hear it too. It makes you feel good. And you go, Brother John, I love you. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. That make you feel good? Made me feel good. You know, sometimes that wife needs a little love, brother. I love you. Appreciate you. Thank you. You know, our Lord, You say He needs us to do that to Him. I say, yeah, and amen. He does. He's the object of worship. And you know what? But when we do that, He returns to us. And all of a sudden we'll find that old crusty, hard, calloused, unrepentant spirit just break. We'll find it just break. And all of a sudden it'll just fall away. You know, if you were bound up with shackles and chains, and all of a sudden the Lord just unlocked those locks, you'd hear Him hit the ground. Man, you'd feel so free and so liberated. Because He just cut the chains and broke the bonds. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rob, I'm not bound. But are you sure? Sometimes we carry burdens and weights and shackles for so long, we don't even notice them. You know, a smoker don't notice the stench because he's been around. And some of we carried those things so long that we don't notice. But boy, if you ever get set free from them. I had the Lord take me out of this body one time, and I realized how big of a burden this thing is. But see, when I'm walking and breathing and talking, it don't feel like a burden. But when I came out, I thought, my gosh, that thing is a weight. I mean, it's a restriction. It has me bound. Amen. Amen? So I would have never known that unless I got off. There's people that carry baggage. Come on. And weights. And iniquities, and they carry these things. And all God's saying is, He said, man, just lay it down at the foot of the cross. That's all you got to do is lay it down at the foot of the cross and say, I don't want this no more, Lord God. I want a peace. I want that peace in my heart. I want that joy of my salvation. I don't want my mind to be perplexed anymore. I don't want to wrestle in the nighttime with this thing no more. I just want that peace and that joy of salvation. And I want to walk in the mountaintops, amen. And He's right there with you. And that's what He wants for you. That's His desire for you. He wants you to give you the desire of your heart. Amen. Let's sing another song, amen. And we'll find the leading of the Lord when to close. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart.
Maybe this song could be our prayer tonight before we dismiss. I want a clean heart before You, Lord God. Father God, renew what the palmer and the canker has tried to rob away from me. Renew that new spirit in me, Lord God. That spirit that has all hope. Amen. That spirit that thinks on the virtuous and righteous and good things. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I don't want to be cast away from His presence. I don't ever want to hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I never want to hear such a thing.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
We love you, Lord God. Feel prayers being answered.
And renew right spirit within.
Can you tarry just a moment longer and let God touch you tonight?
Create in me.
Be sincere with Him. Just talk to Him. You can't muster this up, or you know, you just gotta just find peace. And when you find that peace, you'll make that contact.
Cast me not away.
You need to realize that this is His desire for you. Something is making you think that it isn't His desire, that He just wants you to suffer and travail. He does want us to suffer and travail, but He also wants us to have that perfect peace and that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, He wants us to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, when you got the joy of the Lord, brother, you ain't going to hide it. It's going to emanate from you. The Holy Ghost emanates from you. The Holy Ghost flows out of us like rivers of living water. It overflows and helps the helpless. It brings hope to the hopeless. It brings a joy, brother, to the burdened. That's what the Holy Ghost is for, brethren. It isn't for some personal little thing that you could lock yourself away and just be what you are. The Holy Ghost is a gift that's just given. And when you got the gift in you, you're sharing the gift. And the gift is flowing from you and moving through you. And people look forward into seeing you. And they want to hear the expression of God through you. And they want to fellowship you if they got the same spirit. There'll be a communion. There'll be a joining, amen, in spirit and truth, amen.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
We love you, Lord God.
And renew thy spirit within me.
Hallelujah. We're going to get Brother Whitlow to dismiss us tonight. Y'all love the Lord? I feel well. You know, when you have a task, you got to feel like you accomplish it. You know, if you're a workman and you go out on a job, you feel like there's a certain amount of accomplishment you got to get done that day. You know, and you're going to press for that and push for that. And the thing is that I'm burdened in the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, when I come to the house of God, to make sure that I can bring forth what He wants. And I don't want to get in the way of that ever.
Amen.
And you know, He might want to offer exhortations. You know, and the thing is, I don't want to find pleasure in that in the flesh. Or I showed you, I put them in their place, I done this. You see, that's not in my spirit. Because I'm the one that needs exhortation. Amen. But my desire is to yield myself in whatever facet, whatever measure God would have me operate in. And if it is exhortation or edification or comfort, amen. How many feel comfort tonight? Seriously. Do you feel comfort? If you don't feel the comfort of the Holy Ghost tonight, I'll tarry with you. You know, I will. I'll stay here. But man, we gotta have that peace, that comfort of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we're miserable. And not just miserable, we're truly most miserable. You know, brethren, this is why America's so many drug addicts. Because they're trying to find what I've got to get a peace, and they're going to reach to drugs because it curbs those demons, they think it does, but it suppresses them back in a way in their mind, but it's just strengthening them. They got you that much deeper and that much. But we find so many people bound in drugs. They're looking for this to quench this thing through alcohol, Brother Ed. They'll get some alcohol and they're going to think, and they'll drink until they get numb enough that they think that they're putting this thing down. But it's worse then. But brethren, there is a high. There is a place. There is a trip that we could take with Jesus. Amen. And I'm talking about tonight, today. We could take this place and this trip with Him. And He'll just catch us away from the beggarly things of this world. He'll take us into a secret place with Him. And all of a sudden we feel like all of the blemishes and the tarnishing and all the filth of the flesh and all the things that perplex us as men. He takes us to this place that those things become non-existence. And He robes us and clothes us and loves us and strengthens us. And when we condescend back to men of a less estate, we don't leave those things there. We come out girded, protected, and strengthened, and anointed. And we walk, Brother Pike used to say, as the touch-me-nots. Nothing could touch you. Nothing could harm you. But you got to get to that place with Him. And He's beckoning and drawing and pulling us to be at that place of this perfect peace and rest. It's attainable today, brethren. Oh, yes, we're perplexed from the right, from the left, 1,000 dying over here, 10,000 over here. But we found that peace. You understand that? We walked through the valley of the shadow of death and we found a peace there. And brethren, when we're in this world, we're going to taste of or be knocked around and hit and this and that, but we're going to go right through it just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through that fire, man. And we're not going to be singed by it. We're not going to be burned by it. Amen. We're going to come through. We're not even going to smell like smoke.
That's right.
And we're going to come through this thing. Brethren, this is what we do. We're the sons of God. We are that fourth man in the fire, my friend.
That's right.
Come on, that's who we are. Amen. So don't be afraid of the fire. You know, you think, well, God's going to take me around it. No, He took them through it. And we're going to go through some things, man. But we got to have that peace when we do it and that joy of the Lord. Amen. You love Him.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.